Tantor Audio presents Invincible by J.L. Beck. Narrated by Lucy Malone and Sean Crisden. Prologue. Tegan.
Dev! Dev, where are you going? You can't do this to me. Please come back to me. I can't do this without you. I can't be alone.
As my chest cracks open, and as I watch him take a step away from me, his face is etched with deep sadness.
I can't do this with you. I can't be what you want me to be. I can't force myself to make this work. It's over.
The words rip through me as my mind catches up with my body. Tears stain my cheeks and my body shakes uncontrollably. How could he? Was our love ever enough? I wake up with a gut-wrenching scream ripping through my throat. The t-shirt I fell asleep in is stuck to me, my body covered in sweat as I force myself to catch my breath. Breathe, Teague. Just breathe. But for the life of me, I can't catch my breath, and a part of me doesn't want to. A part of me wants to stop breathing, because then maybe my heart won't hurt. It wouldn't be a battered, damaged, lifeless, blood-pumping organ only existing in its own personal world full of mayhem. When they tell you about love in books, they forget to tell you not every single love story has a fairy tale ending. That sometimes you have to jump through hurdles and go months, maybe even years, with heartache before discovering what love really is. They don't tell you about the nightmares that will come. The ones where, no matter how much you try to reach the person you once loved, they get further and further away from you. No matter how much you yell, scream, and shout out their name, they can't hear you. They forget to tell you how you will find yourself crying more than you smile, and never feeling anything except the coldness that has surrounded your heart. They say distance makes the heart grow fonder, but I think it just makes you think. Think about what you had with that person, the love you have lost, and what you could have done differently to save it. When I look back on my love story with Devin Mitchell, I want to feel more than just what we were. I want to know that deep down we had tried everything possible to be what we were. This is our love story. Chapter 1. Tegan. The past. 8 years ago. I would like to say I saw the end of us coming, or I saw the heartache and change in him months before the actual incident, but I didn't. For whatever reason, I was blinded by his love, or maybe it was so much more than that. Let's take a trip down memory lane.
Tegan, you better be ready to go in 5 seconds, or I'm leaving you here. It might be your graduation, but no one is going to wait for you.
My mother was, well, a mom. She didn't sugarcoat shit, and she most definitely didn't tell me anything I wanted to hear. Ever.
Coming!
I yelled, adjusting my hair in the mirror. It was the end of May, and though it wasn't hot enough to turn the air conditioning on, it was still warm. My thick auburn curls stuck to the back of my neck, and as I pulled them away from my skin, I wiped the sweat away. Great. I was a sweaty mess. Excitement bubbled just under the surface as I put my cap on and sprung from the bedroom. For one fleeting moment, I stopped in the middle of the hall, allowing all the feelings to sink in. I was a high school graduate. I had a wonderful boyfriend. And a new life was just within my grasps. I could see the future in clear sight. My heart was beating out of my chest as I started walking down the hall toward the steps that led downstairs.
Tegan, I will not—
My mother's words halted as I came into her line of vision. She took me in, her eyes running over my cap and gown.
You look beautiful, she said softly, her motherly tone disappearing.
I could tell she was proud of me. Words weren't needed when her eyes filled with tears. That was her way of saying, way to go, Teague. You have defied all the odds bestowed before you.
Thank you, Mom. I thanked her, not wanting to ruin the moment by throwing in an I got it from you joke. My mother was a single parent, and she worked her ass off to get where she was. Nursing school was no walk in the park with a one-year-old. However, she did it and managed to get me where I needed to be. If anything, it was I who should be proud of her.
Ready to go?
She switched the subject, blinking away the tears. Just like that, her walls came back up, blocking her heart from the pain. She had always been that way, forcing herself to be distant, even from her own daughter.
Yep, let's go, I mumbled, gripping my wallet. Even with all the events that played before me, I was still excited about this evening. Headed out to the car, I got in and buckled up. As I waited for my mom, my thoughts turned to Devin. I was more excited to see him than to actually graduate.
You have all your stuff for your classes in the fall ready?
Of course, the conversation would switch straight to more school. My mother didn't like my, what did she call it? My infatuation with boys, and one in particular. She thought Devin was the devil, a man who would lead me astray and away from the important things in life. She had no idea how wrong she was.
Yes, classes are done. I'm registered. I have the dorm map. I have everything ready.
You sound more nervous than I do, I remarked, rolling my eyes as I stared out the window and into the open field. It was a good thing I wouldn't be too far from my hometown. I wasn't sure I could handle it.
I am nervous. For you, of course. I know how different college can be, how leaving home can change your life.
I couldn't tell if she was referring to her own past or my future, but I didn't like where this conversation was headed.
You need to calm down. The only thing I'm doing with my life is going to college and spending time with Devin. I haven't done anything wrong. Hell, I'm still a virgin, Mom. If I wanted to whore myself out, I already would have.
Anger was laced with my words as I spat them at her. I didn't mean to hurt her, to say such harmful things, but I was tired of being compared.
Her hands gripped the steering wheel harder as she pulled onto Highway 80 heading toward the high school. The rest of the trip followed me in silence as we both seethed in our own rages. By the time we parked in the high school parking lot, I was about ready to scream. The tension in the car was similar to wearing a turtleneck in the middle of July. Unbearable, itchy, and sweaty. I wanted out. I reached for the car door handle, not even caring about saying goodbye. It wasn't like me to walk away from something without resolving it, but I had no intention of getting into this conversation. I knew Devin. I knew what my future entailed, and I knew none of her fears would become my reality.
I just want the best for you, Tegan. I don't want you to end up like me, throwing everything away for some boy who never really cared.
I could feel the hurt in her words and see the anguish in her eyes. She was scared. She was afraid because when she looked at me, she saw herself.
I'm smart, Mom. I got this.
I patted her on the hand, giving her a reassuring smile before exiting the car. I didn't want to have to explain to her how much Devin meant to me. I didn't even want to tell him how much he meant to me.
It's about damn time you made it here. For a second, I thought you might miss your own graduation,
Caroline, my best friend, said. Her blonde locks were blowing in the wind, and her green eyes were looking down at me. She was tall for a girl. At close to 5'9", she ended up being taller than most of the guys she dated. Me? I was a messy 5'1". Fun size, as Caroline liked to call me.
As if I would miss one of the most memorable days of my life, I joked, scanning the crowd of classmates for him.
We were all standing on the makeshift stage they had somehow assembled outside.
I haven't seen him yet, Caroline whispered in my ear, knowing I was looking for him. She knew my feelings. She knew what Devin and I shared was bigger than some high school fling. It was dumb to think someone was your soulmate in high school, especially when everything was so full of change.
Fudgesicle, I cursed under my breath, turning around to find my seat. If I couldn't find him, then I could at least look for something I could find.
Hey, wait for me, Caroline yelled as I weaved through the masses. Many of the people before me wouldn't remember me. I was a wallflower.
I cared more about schoolwork and getting somewhere than partying or becoming popular. No one told you this, but after high school, your popularity would mean nothing because wherever you started over, you would be back at the bottom.
Welcome, class of 2007. Please, take your seats, Mr. Erickson bellowed into the microphone.
People started moving around, and as the crowds cleared, I spotted him. He was just stepping onto the football field. His hair was that sandy blonde color that reminded me of the beach. His eyes were pools of emerald green fields. His scent reminded me of home, and every time he was within the same vicinity of me, I felt him. My body, soul, and mind called to him. As if I were calling to him with my mind, he looked up from his feet, our gazes clashing with one another's. He sought me out, a dazzling smile conveying on his face. He wasn't a Prince Charming, but he was mine.
He's here,
Caroline whispered into my ear as she poked me in the back. My last name was before hers, but it just so happened she wasn't too far off from mine. She was able to sit behind me.
I know,
I said back, unable to wipe the smile from my face. The fact I was graduating today meant almost nothing to me. If anything, it was my ticket to freedom. My ticket to a better life. I watched him as the rebel he was made his way up the steps. Everyone else was already seated, and as he walked past the front row to his seat a couple rows behind me, I shuddered. Mr. Erickson made sure he gave him the death glare for being late, and then the procession started. People talked, memories were spoken, but through it all, my mind wandered. I couldn't focus. When the time came to collect our diplomas, I walked across the stage, listening to the hoots and hollers. My family might have been small, but they were loud. A blush formed across my cheeks as I took my seat. A vibration could be felt against my thigh, and I knew it was my phone. Looking around to make sure I couldn't be seen, I slid my hand under my gown and into the pocket of my dress. Devon, meet me by the bleachers when we're done. It was one simple text, explaining nothing. I turned around to find him, but he was already gone. Was he not staying to receive his diploma? As they called Caroline's row, and then the next, the minutes ticked by, and eventually, I texted him back asking where he was. A minute later, I got a message back. Devon, busy. My heart rate was skyrocketing as anxiety filled my belly. Devon had a less-than-stellar track record. He was what many would call the troublemaker. He had plans to make a better life for himself, but I wasn't sure where that would take him. He had family problems, and I was worried it would lead him down a dark road someday. As the choir sang, and the announcement of whose graduation party was after graduation, the anxiety just ate at me.
"What's the matter with you?"
Caroline asked, concern etched into her face. She had worry wrinkles on her forehead, and that made me smile. Oh, nothing, I just... Could I tell her why the man I loved was missing his own graduation? That because he was dealing with family issues, he had to sacrifice his own happiness for everything?
What?
She asked, confused by my mid-stopping sentence.
I'm just excited, I half-lied.
As I waited for the ceremony to finish, my mind tumbled around. We threw our hats, and though it was official I had graduated high school, I felt something deep within my chest. Dread.
We did it! We fucking did it! We beat the odds!
Caroline squealed, her arms wrapping tightly around me. I hugged her back, squeezing as hard as I could.
We did,
I said back, looking for him again.
Where are you going?
Caroline asked, my body moving of its own accord.
Devon, was all I said.
I would text her and let her know I would be at the party later. But right now, I needed answers. Parents, fellow students, and teachers moved to the stage or the front of the school, leaving the football field vacant. Off in the distance, I saw him. His lean body was casually leaning against one of the bleachers as he stood underneath it. His faded blue jeans were worn and rugged-looking, and his navy blue shirt defined every muscle in his chest. He wasn't overly large, but perfect. His cap and gown were in his hand, hanging off his shoulder casually.
Tegan.
The way my name sounded coming from his mouth caused my knees to grow weak. I ran the rest of the distance between us. His arms welcomed me in a warm hug as my body settled into his chest. Home. That's what this was.
You missed your own graduation.
I stated the obvious, curiously hoping he gave me some kind of answer. My tone was flirty, but as I looked up at him, I could tell he was angry. His jaw was clenched tight, and a crease formed on his forehead. Okay, he was more than angry. He was pissed.
Yeah, family obligations. I didn't even get to sit in my chair for all of 5 seconds before I had to sneak out the back.
Hey, it's okay. There will be more graduations and accomplishments in your life. I was trying to sound upbeat when, in reality, I wanted to curse the hell out of his parents for being so selfish.
Of course there will be, he said tensely.
His voice was void of all emotion, and as I pulled away, I felt a coldness descend over me. The look in his eyes told me he was sorry, but he hadn't done anything wrong. Is everything okay? I couldn't hide the fearfulness in my voice, and though words hadn't even been said, I felt my heart breaking, every beat a constant ache.
You know I love you, Tegan?
He was questioning me. One of his hands reached out, pushing a lock of hair behind my ear. His eyes scanned my own face as I nodded my head to answer his question.
Then you know most good things in life come to an end.
To an end? What was he trying to say? Most good things don't come to an end. I repeated the same words back to him, confusion lacing my words. I was forcing myself to stay in place, even though I wanted to run.
I want this to work, Tegan. I want to be that man for you. But right now, it's just not in the cards. I can't be any more than what I am right now.
My breath stopped and my heart fluttered. Are you breaking up with me? It sounded so cliché. My heart ached, and his words, even when hurtful, soothed me. His hands worked through his sandy-colored hair, and his eyes turned dark. The soft light that always made him seem lively left him.
I'm saying you deserve better. You need more than just me. If I have to push you away for you to realize it, then I will.
I wanted to laugh, but instead I threw my hands up in the air, staring at the sky. Clouds were rolling in. They were heavy with rain. For some reason, it resembled the way I was feeling right at that moment.
You don't get to make that choice for me, Devon. I get to make that choice. And I say I love you and I want to be with you.
I was pleading, and the fact that I was scared me to the core.
Do you hear yourself?
He laughed, but it wasn't a humorous one.
You're 18, Tegan. You don't know what love is. And some boy with more problems than he has things going for him isn't going to hold you back from all of this. I love you, but I'm not stupid. This is me letting you go. So fight it all you want. Curse me, hate me, hit me even. But know my intentions for you are only ever good, and leaving you is the hardest decision I have ever had to make.
I took a step away from him, his words stinging my every pore. What had happened to the man I loved? What had happened to us that caused such chaos to ensue? I loved him and I knew it.
You don't mean that,
I stuttered, praying he didn't understand what he had said. He had to know this wasn't going to happen. I wouldn't let it. His eyes turned dark, and with a clenched jaw, he growled,
I do mean it. I already have someone else. Being with you was great, but let's face it, it wasn't ever going to work out.
His words kept hitting me, slashing at my heart until it bled. I fell to my knees before him, and as I looked up at him, I saw someone I had never seen before. Someone who I didn't love. Someone who didn't love me either. "We can..." I was grasping at straws as I felt the tears leak from my eyes and streak down my face.
"We can't. There is no me and you any longer. No us. So just leave. Leave me. Leave us. Get out of this rundown town and do something with your life that doesn't involve me. And Teague, don't come back. There isn't anything here for you anymore."
His words were final, and as he stared at me for a moment longer, I felt myself slipping further. There were no words to describe the sadness seeping into me. In a moment's time, my world had been flipped on its axis. Devin Mitchell had ripped my heart out and stomped on it. The only memory I would have that what we had was real would be in my mind. Between tears, I watched him walk away. His steps were determined. Somewhere deep inside of me, I knew this wasn't what he wanted. Somewhere, I knew he was trying to be the better person. But really, I didn't want nor did I need him to be the better person. He doing this just proved what my mother had to say was right. All men would weasel their way in and then break you, leaving you with nothing but the absence of them and a broken heart. Devin had done both. Except him leaving me there left a gaping hole in my chest. Nothing would fill the wound of lost love. Chapter 2. Tegan. 6 months ago.
Fuck!
I could hear Jamie's voice echoing down the hall. What was the problem? I rubbed the sleep from my eyes and slipped out of the bed. Didn't he know I had classes in the morning? As I walked from the bedroom and down the hall, I could hear the slamming of objects and grunts of anger. What is wrong with... I couldn't finish my sentence as the scene before me stole all the air from my lungs. The couch was destroyed, personal items thrown around, and it looked as if a twister had barreled through the place.
"Go back to bed, Tegan," was all he said,
his eyes skimming over my face. Didn't he care? What had gotten into him? "Back to bed?" I muttered the words in shock. What did he mean, go back to bed? I had to clean this up.
"Yeah, walk your pretty ass back to the bedroom and pretend this never happened."
His voice was gruff as he held his head in his hands. Instead of listening to him, I continued to stand there staring at the disheveled mess, an array of emotions running through me. "I can't pretend this never happened. What the hell is going on with you, Jamie? You know I have classes in the morning." Confusion coursed through me as I started picking up random objects that had been caught in the crossfire of his rage. He had never been like this before. He had never destroyed anything.
"Tegan!"
He let out a harsh laugh as he said my name.
"I fucked up. And when I say I fucked up, I mean it's really bad."
I held a hand to my head, a dull ache forming behind my eyes. What was he talking about? "What do you mean you fucked up? Everything is fine, Jamie. Things get broken, and sometimes we act out on our rage, but it's not that big of a deal." Silence passed as I continued to pick up numerous trinkets, placing the dining room chairs back up into a normal position and moving things around until it looked somewhat normal again.
"The fact you think me fucking up has anything to do with what I did in here is cute. You're naive, Tegan. So damn naive that it's almost cute."
"What are you talking about?" I snapped, having had enough of the confusion circling around my head. Standing, he crossed the room until he was mere millimeters away from me. His body towered over mine. I should have been scared, but I wasn't. Instead, I was determined. His dark green eyes bled into mine, and in them, I saw the vulnerability of whatever he was going to tell me.
"I love you, Tegan."
The words were a mere whisper in the wind, as if they were something I could play in my mind over and over again. A fist-sized ache formed in my chest. I had felt this same type of pain once before in my life. Devon. That one word had the power to bring me to my knees, to crush my spirit, and to take me back to that very moment in time when my whole life was ripped from me.
Tegan.
I could hear Jamie calling my name, but I didn't want to listen. I didn't want to hear whatever it was he had to say.
I fucked up really bad. I mean really bad. I had to go to Tony to borrow some money, but it just got me deeper into the hole.
His confusion pulled me from my depressive state. What do you mean you had to borrow money from Tony? Tony was a friend of both of ours. He had money. His parents owned the local diner, and occasionally we stepped in to talk to him. Jamie's eyes refused to meet my own, so I reached out to cup his cheeks, forcing him to look at me. Remorse showed over all other emotions, and I wondered why he felt the way he did.
I have a gambling problem.
His words rang in my ears. Okay, that's fine. I stumbled over my words. I wasn't sure what to expect, but it wasn't that. Suddenly, he was shaking his head and my hands were falling from his cheeks. His hands reached out, landing heavily on my shoulders.
It's not fine. I owe a lot of money to a lot of people. So much so that it's now put you in danger. They're going to come for me, Tegan. They're going to come for you, too.
The fear could be heard in his voice, and I wondered how much money we were talking about. How much money, Jamie? And who are these guys? Taking a step back, he ran a hand through his dark hair.
A lot of money, and these men, I can't even tell you who they are. All I can say is if someone comes here looking for me, you tell them you don't know me. You lie through your teeth, and you lie good.
His words were final. Without thinking about it, I asked, why? In a second, he was in front of me again, his hands wrapped tightly around my arms. His fingers were biting into my flesh, but all I could focus on was his face and his words.
They will kill you if they find out you are with me. They will do anything they can to get their money back. Do you understand me? They will kill you. They will use you and then kill you. If it's the last thing you do, you listen to me. Please, I'm begging you.
His voice was pleading, and he looked as if he was on the verge of tears. Yet, through all of this, all I could feel was the absence. The fact that yet again I would be left alone. I won't say anything, and I won't risk my life for you, I said coldly. My heart was filling with anger once again, and for the second time in my life, it was growing colder.
Good, because I'm not worth it. Now I'm going to leave, Tegan. I'm going to run as far away as I can. If you come looking for me, they will find you. They will know. So lie, hide, and keep yourself out of the public eye.
A kiss was placed against my forehead as he picked up a bag that had been lying in the corner. I hadn't noticed it. I hadn't noticed anything, really. I should have seen it coming. The signs were there. I just ignored them. As he headed for the door, feelings overwhelmed me. I should have been screaming at him, telling him what a prick he was for using me, for taking everything I gave him and then leaving. Instead, I stood there watching him as he walked away, my heart shattering for the second time in its short life. A tear escaped my eye, trailing down my cheek. How had I gotten to this point yet again? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times? There wouldn't be a third time. The days passed in a flurry, and as the summer turned to winter, the gaping hole in my chest became bigger. Every passing day was a reminder of what had failed to work in my life. I had just sat down to devour a pizza from Domino's when the doorbell rang. What the hell? Jamie's reminder echoed in the back of my mind. But why should I care? He wasn't here now. Groaning, I got up from the couch and trekked over to the front door, standing on my tiptoes to look out the peephole. On the other side of the door were two men, both wearing dark suits, their eyes boring into the wooden door.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?